Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 279 of the True Crime All the Time Unsolved podcast. I'm Mike Ferguson, and with me, as always, is my partner in true crime, Mike Gibson. Gibby, how are you?
Hey, man, I'm doing good. How about yourself?
I am doing very well.
Yeah?
So happy that you're in the studio with me.
Man, I love being in the studio.
It just makes it a good night.
It is.
Let's go ahead and give our shout-outs. For Patreon, we had Paula Motzny, who's been with us a while, but she jumped up higher than our highest level.
Well, she's got some moxie, that Motzy.
She does. Donna Russell.
Hey, Donna.
Rosie Abbott.
What's going on, Rosie?
Samantha Fraser.
Well, I appreciate that, Samantha.
Mindy Hernandez.
What's up, Mindy?
VW Guy 82.
Well, you know, Guy 82, thank you.
Sierra and Siu.
Well, and I see you too.
All right. Mod.
Hey, Mod.
Tim Lamb.
Well, appreciate that, Lamb.
Tyrell Powell jumped out to our highest level.
Powell in the house.
Rosa Lopez.
What's going on, Rosa?
Stephanie Ortiz.
Hey, Stephanie.
Dale Osborne.
Well, appreciate that, Dale.
Paula.
Well, there's Paula.
RK.
Well, appreciate that, RK.
Sue Mortashed.
I'd just say, hey, Sue.
All right. Jessica.
Hey, what's up, Jessica?
George Faulkner.
Hey, George.
Candy.
There's Candy.
Rena Fromarin.
Fromarin. It's like I like to use that Italian accent when you say that name.
You have to, right?
Yes.
Diane.
Hey, Diane.
It's probably not even Italian.
Probably not.
Ron.
Hey, Ron.
And last but not least, Susan Dubuque.
Hey, Dubuque.
And then if we go back into the vault, this week we selected Jamie Perot.
What's up, Jamie?
So appreciate all the Patreon support, new and continued. On PayPal, we had two very generous donations this week. One from Alan Holm.
Hey, appreciate that, Alan.
And one from Julie Young.
Julie, you're awesome.
Yeah, both great donations. Appreciate it. Gibbs, right now on True Crime All the Time, we have an episode out on Charles Albright, a man who became known as the Eyeball Killer.
Yeah, it makes me a little queasy thinking about it.
Yeah, I know you got a little squeamish during the recording of the episode, but you know, when you think about a man removing the eyeballs in a surgical fashion from his victims, okay, it's something, that's for sure. All right, buddy, are you ready to get into this episode of True Crime All the Time Unsolved?
I am.
We are talking about the unsolved murder of Ananda Dean, and we're headed to Jamaica.
Yeah.
As far as I know, we have never done an episode in Jamaica before.
We have not.
So there's a first time for everything. So
we're headed to the Caribbean or the Caribbean, however you say that.
Well, for you, you can say it however you want.
I can.
Because you're Gibby.
Well,
and you can get away with it. No, I think that's a word where there really is no wrong way to say it, right? Yeah. It can be said either way. Unlike Illinois, there is really only one way to say it.
You have Illinois as well.
So as we get into this case, 11-year-old Ananda Dean went missing on September 17th, 2008. She was living at her aunt's home in Grants Pen on Whitehall Avenue, St. Andrew, Jamaica. She was last seen leaving her school, where she was a sixth grade student at Swallowfield Primary and Junior High School. She was getting on a bus heading to Halfway Tree, a neighborhood near her aunt's home, when Ananda didn't return home. Later that day, she was reported missing by her aunt, Tamika Campbell, whom she lived with. Several of her school books were found a day after she went missing, scattered along a walkway in the community of Pembroke Hall, a few miles away from where she was last seen. Ananda's father, Richard Dean, told The Star, "When I heard that her books were found, I became hopeful again that she would be found alive, and we searched the entire Pembroke Hall area. We were inside of people's yards, and people from that community were also assisting as they had learned about her disappearance over the news." Dean also said they searched everywhere and left no stone unturned. He also acted on every clue and lead that he had received.
So we have the 11-year-old girl gone missing after school. How many times have we heard a scenario like this?
Too many, unfortunately. But the other thing we hear all the time is, you know, people rallying around a missing young one. Obviously, the parents are concerned, but people in the community as well, helping out, searching, doing whatever they can. And that's what you would hope would happen in every situation.
Absolutely.
Ananda was born on November 11th, 1997 to her father, Richard Dean, and mother, Nardia Campbell. According to the Jamaica Gleaner, Ananda was described by friends and family as a perfect child who had a heart of gold. She was full of manners and very helpful to others. Everyone loved her, which is evident in how the entire community, including the school, assisted with her search when she went missing. So does that play a role in it? Yeah, I'm sure it does. But, you know, I still think when you have a good community, they're going to rally around a situation like this, even if they don't know the individual at all.
Right.
Now, sure, the people who know her and love her and she's very well liked, yeah, they're all going to help out. But it's heartwarming to me to know that complete strangers in a lot of these cases that we talk about, you know, are willing to give up their time and go searching because they feel for the family and they truly want to help to find, you know, this young missing person.
Yeah, I mean, these children are so precious, man. You just can't sit around and wait.
Investigators interviewed people who were known to be on or around the path that Nanda would have taken that day. They retraced her steps to get closer to discovering those responsible for the disappearance of 11-year-old Ananda Dean. According to the Star, Richard Dean said, "To know that Ananda was taken away from me is a harsh feeling that I cannot explain. It is the constant support that I have around me that keeps me going. My heart skips a beat every time I see another child go missing, and I always pray that he or she returns home. But that is not always the case."
You know, he's right. You know, these kids go missing, and everybody hopes they return, but sometimes they don't. And right now, he's hoping his kid returns.
And obviously, some of these interviews that he gave happened, you know, later in time, I'm sure. The one thing I don't know that we've talked about that often is, you know, when you're the parent of a missing child, you're grieving for your child. You're trying to figure out what happened to them. What would be the feeling when you see on the news that another child has gone missing?
Yeah.
Because now you know exactly what those parents feel because you're living it. According to the Jamaica Gleaner, there was a person who used the opportunity of Ananda going missing to try to cash in on her disappearance. This person requested money for information that ultimately proved to be false. Global Voices reported that there were also other reports of taunting telephone calls received by the Deans made by other individuals demanding ransom or providing clues that led nowhere.
I don't understand why individuals think this is okay.
Well, I don't know that they think it's okay. I think some believe it's a way for them to make some quick money.
Yeah.
By scamming people in a time of need. I mean, let's face it. People are scamming people all over the world every day. To me, this is even worse than your normal scam because you're trying to cash in on a tragedy.
Yeah. How do you sleep at night? You know, doing this, you're pretty much scum.
Yeah. I don't know that some of these scum have what we would think of as a conscience. They probably sleep fine at night. Ananda's father was told when he and her aunt reported her as missing that the police said they would need to wait a 24-hour period before she could officially be listed as missing and before they could take any action. I think to a lot of people, Gibbs, the lack of prompt action showed remarkable insensitivity on the part of the police, and probably more so when you realize that by the next day, the trail of her abduction had grown cold. Now, we see the same thing here in the U.S. from time to time, not as much as we used to, right? This used to be kind of a normal thing. You got to wait so many hours.
Right.
I think the other thing that people look at in regards to this 24-hour waiting period is that 50 children had been murdered from January 2008 up until the day that Ananda went missing.
And that's a lot of children.
And so maybe we want to jump on it a little quicker.
Yeah, why wait? You know, make sure this is not going to happen to this child.
On September 25th, 8 days after Ananda went missing, as the hunt for her continued, someone found some of her brand new school books dumped on a busy Pembroke Hall Avenue in the nation's capital. So we already mentioned some books were found early on, and now somebody has found additional school books. On September 28th, 11 days after her disappearance, according to the Halfway Tree Jamaica Observer, a body was discovered around 10 a.m. by residents of Belvedere in Red Hills, St. Andrew. They decided to investigate the cause of a nasty odor that had been lingering around nearby homes for a couple of weeks. One resident said they thought the odor was from a dead animal, but the longer it remained, the more they realized they needed to investigate the area for the source. The residents cleared some bushes and brush, and they walked up the cliff and found the body of a little girl, as if it had been tossed down the cliff into the bushes to hide it. This little girl's body was naked and headless. The Stonehill Fire Department removed the little girl's body from the site. It took them almost 3 hours to bring the girl's body up from the steep cliff. They placed her body in a wooden box prior to lifting it up to the road. The body had experienced advanced decomposition, and identification was not possible at that point in time.
You have these residents living there smelling this odor and then coming across this little girl's body with no head. How disturbing that had to be.
Well, and I go back to the fact that they had been smelling it for some time.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not putting any blame on them, because I could walk outside and smell something strange and be like, okay.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to go looking for that smell, but it is kind of heartbreaking to think that, you know, she could have been there decomposing for as long as she was. So we mentioned that the body could not be identified, but some family members, including Ananda's aunt, were convinced that it was in fact Ananda, mainly because of black size 2 school shoes and a navy blue uniform, similar to ones owned by Ananda, that were found at the scene. And it was reported, Gibbs, that her aunt saw the little girl's headless body once the rescue team got the body to the road. A large crowd was on site watching the recovery. Her aunt yelled out, "It's a she, it's Ananda." Then she fell to the ground in tears. Ananda's mother fainted at seeing the body, believing it was her little girl. And this is something that I just can't even fathom. You know, a lot of times you'll see when there's a scenario like this, the police will try to put up something to block the view of the public.
Yeah, it's like sheets or something, right?
Something, tents or, yeah, or whatever, because they don't want everybody standing on the road to be able to see what is going on, because it's not a good scene.
No.
And now you find out that, you know, the family members are there having to see this. Obviously, you're going to be devastated once you find out that, you know, this child is dead.
Right.
And then to me, you're going to be haunted by the memories of what you witnessed, much different than, let's say, you know, seeing her later on after the funeral home has had a chance to, you know, work their magic, for a lack of a better term.
Exactly. Yeah. And that lasting memory of what you saw.
Wow. Brutal. Yeah. Right. Just to think about what was going on. So the fact that, you know, people are fainting, I can understand it. It must have been just an absolutely brutal scene. Deputy Superintendent Carol McKenzie of the police at the St. Andrew North Division told the Jamaica Observer that DNA tests would have to be done to determine the body's identity. The investigator speculated that the body may have been dumped hours or a day after Ananda went missing, given the state of decomposition, which resulted in a pathologist being called in to perform an on-the-spot post-mortem. The investigators did find the girl's head, though by that time it was just a skull. They also suggested that she had been raped. The body was found only miles away from where Ananda was last seen after she went missing almost 2 weeks before. And what really strikes me here is I go back to, you know, residents saying they've been smelling this for a couple of weeks. So the timing seems to fit. Ananda had been missing for weeks. Now, they haven't conclusively proven that it's her, but the timeline fits.
Yeah. And, you know, being a tropical environment, I'm sure that sped up the decomposition of the body.
You know, some residents came forward and said they may have overlooked clues that a body was disposed of in their community. Some people told papers that they saw the uniform on the road, but they never knew it was the little girl's. One resident told papers that the girl whose picture had been posted on flyers, placed on light posts, buses, and in stores might have been found. So, you know, I'm taking from this, Gibbs, that, you know, some of these people are feeling guilt.
Yeah.
Over not making the connection that, okay, they saw this, but they didn't put two and two together and think, okay, this might be Ananda's or this might be a clue in her disappearance. I get that. It's kind of natural. It's hard to blame people, just citizens, for seeing something on the side of the road and not making something out of it.
I mean, we all see something on the side of the road from time to time, right?
Sure.
I mean, a shoe or a pair of shoes. And sometimes I look at that and I'm like, how do those get there? But I've never stopped and said, boy, I better call the police.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I think to beat yourself up over that, is it natural for some people to do it? Maybe so, but I'm with you. I just would assume that somebody threw that out the window.
Yeah.
And I'm sure as heck not going to pull over to the side of the road to go investigate these shoes. And I'm not going to take that extra step to call the police. Now, if I knew that this little girl in my community was wearing a blue uniform and I saw a blue uniform, okay, that might be different.
Yeah.
That might be a different type of context. And maybe that's why some of these people felt guilty about it. But here's the thing. It doesn't seem to me as though it would have changed the outcome, other than maybe it would have helped find her body faster. And maybe there would have been less decomposition. There would have been additional clues found, something like that. But it does sound as though she was killed very soon after she disappeared.
Right.
According to the Jamaican Gleaner, 4 days after the gruesome discovery of the body, Ananda's parents were called in for a more than 2 hour long interview with police from St. Andrew North Division. So we don't know exactly what was discussed in this long interview with police, but Deputy Superintendent Altamont Campbell told the Gleaner, "We're in constant touch with them. This thing is still wide open, so we have to keep in contact with them, finding out whether or not there is anything they left out or forgot to tell us that could aid in the investigation." But 3 weeks after the body was found, the identification still had not been made, and Ananda's family grew very impatient. That's a long wait for police to confirm whether or not this body that was found is your little girl.
Yeah, it'd be frustrating.
Let's face it. Sometimes multitasking can be overwhelming. Like when your favorite podcast is playing and the person next to you is talking and your car fan is blasting, all while you're trying to find the perfect parking spot. But then again, sometimes multitasking is easy. Like quoting with Progressive Insurance. They do the hard work of comparing rates so you can find a great rate that works for you, even if it's not with them. Give their nifty comparison tool a try, and you might just find getting the rate and coverage you deserve is easy. easy. All you need to do is visit Progressive's website to get a quote with all the coverages you want, like comprehensive and collision coverage or personal injury protection. Then you'll see Progressive's direct rate, and their tool will provide options from other companies all lined up and ready to compare. So it's simple to choose the rate and coverages you like. Press play on comparing auto rates. Quote at progressive.com to join the over 27 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. Oh, Gibby, you know how much I love that sound. That sound just makes me smile. It's the sound of another sale on Shopify, the all-in-one commerce platform to start, run, and grow your business. Shopify gives entrepreneurs the resources once reserved for big business. So upstarts, startups, and established businesses alike can sell everywhere, synchronize online and in-person sales, and effortlessly stay informed. Scaling your business is a journey of endless possibility. We've been using Shopify for over 4 years now to sell our podcast merch. It's completely revolutionized the way we do business. Like mine, Shopify powers millions of businesses from first sale to first scale, reach customers online and across social networks with an ever-growing suite of channel integrations and apps, including Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Pinterest, and more. It's more than a store. Shopify grows with you. This is possibility powered by Shopify. Go to shopify.com/unsolved, all lowercase, for a free 14-day trial and get full access to Shopify's entire suite of features. Grow your business with Shopify today. Go to shopify.com/unsolved right now. shopify.com/unsolved. You know, your friends and family may wonder about your mysterious disappearances. But hey, if you're having as much fun with Best Fiends as I am, it's no secret why you sneak off to play. I love Best Fiends. It's so easy just to pick up anytime you want, play a few levels. I get a rush every time I beat a new level. I think right now I'm around level 360, so I have been playing it for some time now. And I keep playing it because it's just that much fun. Best Fiends is a free-to-download mobile puzzle game with thousands of exciting levels for new adventures and challenges every time you play. One thing I love is the dozens of unique fiends that you can collect. You can customize your team of fiends. You can even power up your favorite fiend and watch them transform as they grow stronger. There's offline play, so you'll never be stranded without fun, even if you lose your internet connection. And they do an amazing job of creating brand new events and challenges that pop up all year round, so you always have a chance to earn exclusive in-game items, characters, and rewards. Download your new favorite getaway, Best Fiends, for free today on the App Store or Google Play. You'll even get $5 worth of in-game rewards when you reach level 5. That's friends without the R, Best Fiends. Richard Dean told the paper that he was tired of waiting and that he was getting the runaround from the police. He said, "Fed up. I'm fed up. 3 weeks now, and I hear next week the police are dragging their feet." I get it. The police have to do what they have to do, but sure. If I'm Richard Dean, I'm fed up too.
Yeah.
I'm down there every day saying, what in the world is going on? I need to know, is this my daughter? The deputy director at the government forensic laboratory, Sharon Bridson, said the DNA testing delay was caused by the degree of decomposition of the body, which affected analysis. Ananda's father was still unwilling to believe the body found was his daughter's.
I don't think any father wants to believe. You want the answers to either acknowledge that it is or that it's not, but you certainly don't want to believe it's your daughter. You're still having that hope that maybe your daughter's still alive.
Deputy Superintendent Ultimate Campbell said he could understand the family's frustration. He did, however, stress that he had no control over the lengthy process involved in forensic testing. He said, "I know it's a long and painful process, but we cannot rush the experts." Campbell also said he could not advise the family to go ahead with funeral arrangements without getting concrete evidence that the body was Ananda's.
Well, I get what he's saying. If you don't know if it's your daughter's body yet, how can you start making arrangements? You have to wait, be patient. And that's probably not easy for the family to do.
Then on October 29th, 2008, the fears of the family of Ananda Dean were confirmed by the police that the body found was that of their loved one, Ananda. According to the police, the relevant forensic tests were carried out to confirm whether the body was indeed that of the young girl. So he mentioned it, you know, tough on the family. It took a full month to confirm that it was, in fact, Ananda.
It's a long time.
Yeah, that it's a very long time, especially when you think about every day wondering, as the family, is it her? Is it her? We don't know. We think it is, but we don't know for sure. There's the other side of that, which is, because we don't know, what do we do?
Yeah, kind of like in limbo.
Well, do we continue to search? Because what if it turns out not to be her?
Yeah.
Or are we simply left to wait around for the police to tell us? They were just put in such a difficult position. I get it. Police have to do their job. Testing takes time. I get all of that. It just makes it very tough on the family.
Yeah.
Deputy Commissioner of Police Mark Shields made the announcement during a press conference held on October 30th, 2008, at the NCB Towers in New Kingston. He said, while it is now certain the body located on Sunday, September 28th, is that of Ananda, hundreds of other children remain missing, the likely victims of criminal acts. This harrowing end to the search for Ananda Dean is made even more disturbing by the fact that more than 50 children have been murdered in Jamaica since the start of the year, among them 11-year-old Ikem Scott. His dismembered body was found stuffed into a bag on September 14th. And we talked about the 50 children earlier, but now you have the deputy commissioner of police coming out, making the statement. I think if you're a citizen, especially if you're a parent, you're very concerned.
You have to be. That's a lot of young people who have been murdered.
So we mentioned early on, Gibbs, that some of Ananda's books were discovered after she was reported missing. They were found very close to the Pembroke Hall High School in St. Andrew. On October 29th, it was reported that there were threats being issued against students of that high school in retaliation for Dean's disappearance. The police came out and told the Jamaica Gleaner that they looked into it. A senior officer said that the school was visited by police who spoke with the principal. They did a preliminary assessment of the matter and they found no substance to the threat. But I did find that, you know, pretty interesting.
Sure. Yeah.
Because, you know, the community is up in arms. Yeah. We said 50 children had been murdered.
Yeah.
They want somebody to pay. And that's only natural. That would happen, you know, anywhere around the world. So my takeaway from this is that someone, maybe multiple people, were trying to make the connection between where the books were found in this high school. And they must have thought, well, it had to have been someone from this high school who abducted Ananda and then murdered her. Now, I don't know how they could have had any evidence. And police came out later and said they didn't believe the threats were real anyway.
Right. Yeah, to me, that seems like a pretty far reach.
Well, especially when you have zero evidence. But whether the threats were made, we don't know. The police said they weren't. And then in a strange twist, that very same day, a policeman was charged with carnal abuse, indecent assault, and attempting to pervert the course of justice in connection with the abduction of 14-year-old Janelle Goldborn. Goldborn was taken from her home in Harborview, Eastern Kingston. The police appealed to the public for information that could assist in locating her. So we have a lot going on here.
Yeah.
In the wake of, you know, Ananda's disappearance, her eventual location and identification, possible threats, a policeman who apparently tried to abduct a 14-year-old. Dorsey Williams, the grandmother of Ananda, called on the Jamaican government to up the ante on punishment handed out to convicted sexual offenders. She told the Jamaican Gleaner, "The gallows in Spanish Town are getting very rusty and they need to be used." And it is time we start using them on these rapists. The raping of children is just as bad as committing a murder. We need to start hanging these rapists. Okay. Grandma is not messing around.
No.
She's not mincing her words. She is saying we need to start hanging rapists.
Yeah.
Under Jamaican law, only persons convicted of capital murder can face the death penalty. Renato Adams, retired senior superintendent of police, told the paper laws should be passed allowing for the castration of persons found guilty of raping a minor. She said those who rape girls under the age of consent should be castrated and given a sentence of 30 years hard labor. If they rape and kill the victim, the gallows is a must. People are getting away because they are not being caught. And if caught, the laws are not stiff enough. When they go before the court, they get a slap on the wrist. All right. Slap on the wrist is a term that you and I have used many, many times on True Crime All the Time.
We have.
I think we actually used it in the episode that is out right now.
Probably did.
It's one of our biggest pet peeves. Now, I'm sure a lot of people listening may agree with what this woman is saying.
Yeah.
There's not much that fires people up more than the murder and rape of a child.
I agree with her.
Yeah, I don't know if that is something that would ever be, you know, put into place. You know, I don't know. What I do know is that anyone who commits that type of crime against a child is the scum of the earth.
Yeah.
And I just have no sympathy whatsoever for those people.
Right.
According to Radio Jamaica, in October 2008, the St. Andrew North Police launched a manhunt for two men who abducted and savagely raped a teen girl in the Constant Spring area in St. Andrew. There were fears among residents that the attack was linked to a so-called rape ring. Radio Jamaica spoke to the victim's mother. She said her daughter was walking home around 5:30, having left school early. She was walking along Lawrence Avenue in the Mannings Hill Road area when a gray Nissan Sunny motor car drove up beside her. The man reportedly ordered her to keep walking and pretend that she knew him. The car continued to follow her for a short distance before the back door was opened and she was forced inside the vehicle. He threw his arm around her waist and threatened to kill her if she ran or made a noise. The teen was taken to the Red Hills area, close to where the body of Ananda Dean was found just 2 weeks before this report came out. The young woman was robbed and savagely raped. The mother said her daughter's scars are more than just physical. She said she's not doing great. She's crying, and she says she thinks she is dreaming. She sees this thing happen over the TV news every day, and she just thinks she's dreaming. Basically, the reality doesn't hit her yet. This victim's mother made her own plea for vigilance among parents and children in the area. A search was launched for the culprits, but I think, Gibbs, the question became, was this the same suspect that kidnapped and killed Ananda Dean? And eventually that became the question that the police wanted to answer.
Yeah, I think it's a critical question to get the answers to.
Ananda Dean was laid to rest at Dovecot Memorial Park in St. Catherine in November of 2008. The Jamaican Gleaner reported that her mother was wailing, her father was crying. How could they not be?
Yeah.
I mean, just unimaginable sorrow. The service was adorned with colorful balloons, red roses, pink and white floral arrangements, and teddy bears. Mourners cried as they gazed at the purple and white coffin, emblazoned with a picture of a smiling Ananda and the words "forever loved" etched on the side. I've only been to one, but I can tell you right now, a child's funeral is so devastatingly heartbreaking.
Yeah.
I mean, funerals are sad, but there's something about a child's funeral that for me is almost indescribable. The differences there.
Yeah, that child's life has not even had a chance to begin yet.
And in this case, you know, it was a child who was murdered.
Yeah.
Which adds to, yeah, I think, another element to it. On May 19th, 2009, a police search and notification campaign called Ananda Alert was named after Ananda Dean. According to Dig Jamaica, the Ananda Alert system for reporting missing children was launched and named in her honor. The system was devised to increase the chances of recovering missing children by getting information out to the public faster. So very similar to our Amber Alert system. Under the Ananda Alert program, when a child goes missing, a report is made to the nearest police station or by calling 119. The police then alert all Ananda Alert participants, including the media, mobile phone companies, local authorities, and these will then mobilize community groups. After 12 hours, photos of the missing child will be placed on electronic billboards, in shops, supermarkets, community centers, post offices. Like I said, it's patterned after the Amber Alert system in the U.S., which began in 1996, when Dallas-Fort Worth broadcasters teamed with local police to develop an early warning system to help find abducted children. AMBER stands for America's Missing Broadcast Emergency Response and was created as a legacy to 9-year-old Amber Hagerman, who was kidnapped while riding her bicycle in Arlington, Texas, and then brutally murdered. Other states and communities soon set up their own AMBER plans as the idea was adopted nationwide. And I think you and I have talked about this before, but you know, the Amber Alert system has been amazing.
Critical.
Yeah. I mean, you think about now with so many people having smartphones, the alert that comes up on your smartphone for a child who has been reported missing in and around your area, that is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Now, you could be sitting at home, but you could also be driving in your car. The technology now in some cars will read your texts out to you.
Yeah.
So it will actually read it out. You could see the car they're looking for drive right by you.
And give notice to police, and that might just save that child's life.
Yeah. It really has become an amazing system.
I think maybe in the last 3 months, I've probably received 2 of those notices.
Yeah, it's a really good thing. According to the BBC, the Jamaican government has set up electronic billboards across the island with photos and information about missing children on an ongoing basis. A government official said the aim was to help the public identify the children as soon as they go missing and enable the police to rescue them and keep the missing fresh in the public's eye. The BBC also reported that 4 children disappear in Jamaica every day. 80% of them return home within days or weeks, but the remainder are never found alive.
Well, I think it's good that they, you know, they're doing these things, that they are have the alert system out, they have the billboards that they're trying to use. I mean, everything helps. If it saves 1 or 2 children, then great. It's better than not doing anything at all.
Well, and the one thing that I took from it is that they recognize that there's a problem. You know, they're not shying away from the numbers.
No.
I mean, we talked about was the deputy commissioner came out and said, this is how many people or how many kids are, you know, have been murdered in this time span. They're seeing it. They're recognizing it. And they're trying to combat it. And that's what you have to do. In Jamaica, from 2001 to 2013, 1,600 Jamaican children were murdered. Over 4,300 children were reported missing from January 2013 to March 2015. And, you know, Jamaica has a population of about 3 million people, which puts it roughly close to the city of Chicago in population. So I don't know how those numbers compare to a big city in the U.S. like Chicago.
Yeah. Just seems like a lot.
It does seem like a lot, but you know, the numbers in Chicago could be much higher.
Well, that's true.
I didn't look them up. But I did want to give kind of a comparison of the population of Jamaica.
But one child's too many, so we know that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Jamaican authorities say if your child is missing, you should try immediately to contact the child's friends, relatives, and associates. Go to your local police station and file a missing person report. Do not wait 24 hours. Man, that is what you want to hear.
Yeah. Take action.
When at the police station, take them a most recent photograph of the missing child. Ensure that the police give you a receipt after making your report. If you're not satisfied with the response of the police, ask for the station supervisor or superintendent in charge. If you locate the child before the police, inform them immediately.
Great tips.
It's great tips, but not just for Jamaica. You know, I would think that those would apply here in the U.S. as well, right? We don't wait 24 hours anymore to file a missing persons report on a child.
Right.
We've learned. Take a most recent photograph. That's going to be very, very helpful. And the one that I really like, if you're not satisfied with the response of the police, go to a higher up.
Yeah.
Ask to talk to somebody else. Yeah, I think sometimes we look at the police in a somewhat authoritarian, almost scary way. I can't talk to the police like I would talk to, you know, let's say a restaurant if I was not happy with my food.
Yeah.
I'm not saying go in and yell at the police or call them names, but if you're not satisfied with the response, and I don't care what the setting is, I think you should ask to speak to someone else.
Yeah. Keep pushing it forward.
Yeah. According to the Jamaican Gleaner, Richard Dean said that if Ananda were alive today, she would be looking to leave university with her degree. I know she would have positively impacted society, but her killers took her life and changed our lives forever. And we hear too much of that. Then on May 17th, 2022, the family of Ananda Dean relived that agony all over again after Ananda's 27-year-old sister, Shanice, was killed in a shocking funeral attack. The Gleaner reported that gunmen struck early in the afternoon at the Meadow Rest Memorial Park in Spanish Town, killing two members of a funeral party and injuring two others. The incident occurred just as the funeral party was getting ready to depart from the cemetery. The gunmen were driving a dark blue Honda Odyssey with tinted windows. They drove inside the memorial park and opened fire on a group of people who were about to board a white transport van that had transported attendees to the cemetery. Funeral attendees scrambled for cover as multiple rounds were fired. And it just happened that a licensed firearm holder was in the vicinity and reportedly returned fire, causing the attackers to flee. Four people suffered from gunshot wounds after the firefight and were taken to Spanish Town Hospital, where Shanice and another man succumbed to their injuries. Detectives said they recovered more than 20 spent shells. And police told the paper that the shooters came for a specific person in the gathering.
You know what? How lucky were they that there was somebody there that was able to defend the people that weren't armed?
Yeah, I mean, we don't know how many more people would have been killed.
Yeah.
But this is the second case in I don't know how many weeks where, you know, a family has experienced two devastating tragedies.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of their children, their loved ones within a span of time. It's, you know, absolutely rough. According to the Star, Ananda's father's social media page shows posts and shares about missing children. He wants to spread awareness. His Facebook profile picture is Ananda with her bright eyes and captivating smile. According to Dean, the pain remains unbearable, even though it's been more than a decade since her passing. And that's something that I've always thought.
Yeah.
I've said it multiple times. I just don't believe that that type of pain goes away. It may ebb and flow, but it's always there. It has to be.
It's always lingering inside you.
And he says it's unbearable 10 years later. He told the Star there are hundreds of children that went missing after Ananda died, and a lot of them were found dead. But we hardly ever hear about anyone being convicted. And that's sad. As it relates to Ananda, I would like to see closure. While I have forgiven her killers to make it a bit easier on myself, I still would want to know why and who would kill my baby. The family remains positive and hopeful that her killer or killers will be brought to justice one day. They feel that parents need to be more vigilant where their children are concerned. They need to be protective and teach their children to be wary of strangers from an early age. But as the Star wrote, parents can't be with their children all the time. And all the preparation and teaching a parent does is not a guarantee that the child will be safe. The police must play a part. The school must play a role. The government must make the necessary legislative changes and enforce the law. And society must also look out for our children. It may not stop these incidents, but it may reduce the frequency of the carnage on our youth.
All good words.
Yeah, I mean, it all makes sense. You know, you've heard that saying, it goes back, you know, for a long time, it takes a village.
Right.
I don't know if that's exactly what they're trying to say here in the Star, but I agree with all of it. All of these pieces, these parts of the puzzle, they all have to work together.
Yeah.
And still, that's not going to solve everything.
But it's a step in the right direction.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
You know, I go back to something that Richard Dean said that he had to forgive. Man, that's got to be tough. I don't know if I can do that.
No, I'm going to say I don't think I could.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't even think, as I'm debating it inside my head, I pretty much know that I couldn't. To me, that's just an unforgivable act. Yeah. Now, many people do, and we've covered a lot of cases where people said they forgive and, you know, maybe it's their faith. Maybe it's just the way that their mind works or how what they believe in. I just don't think I could do it. Ananda's name was engraved on the Crying Child's Monument, and her mother was in attendance for a small ceremony, unveiling the names of an additional 214 Jamaican children who have died under violent and tragic circumstances from May 16, 2011, to April 2016. Ananda's mother told the Jamaican Gleaner, "I never stop praying though, and I fast sometimes. I even ask God why, even though I know I'm not supposed to do it. But there are times when I can't help but question him." A scholarship was established in Ananda's memory that would be awarded to an outstanding student of her alma mater. The government will facilitate the $250,000 towards the efforts to manage the scholarship. So obviously, you know, as we wrap up this case, Gibbs, there were some good things that happened in the wake of Ananda's murder. The Ananda alert system was a good thing for Jamaica. This scholarship in her name, that's a really good thing. You like to see things like that happen. But this is an extremely tough case in that police have some information. They have, some timeline information. Books were dropped here. Books were found over there. But they don't have a lot to go on.
They don't.
The one thing I do want to go back to is the manhunt that was launched for these two men who robbed and raped this teen girl that we talked about. You know, we asked the question, could this be the same suspect or suspects that were involved in the kidnapping and killing of Ananda? I don't know the answer, but the timing and, you know, everything leads you to believe that it's possible.
Sure. And hopefully they're continuing to work on this case. I mean, it's been, 14 years now?
Yeah, that was one of the problems with this case is there wasn't a lot of current reporting as far as the investigation.
Right.
There was reporting on, you know, what's going on with monuments and scholarships and things like that, but not much in the way of where does the investigation stand right now. You would hope that it's still active, open, They're still running leads. If they get any tips and all that, we just don't know. But that's it for our episode on the unsolved murder of Ananda Dean. We got some voicemails, Gibbs. You want to check those out?
Let's check them out.
This message, this is Robert the Trucker again. The message is for the unsolved true crime all the time, unsolved, about the washer episode. I think I know who did it. This is who did all the letters. It was a real estate agent. Look at all the real estate agents. They're the only ones that can be in the neighborhood and get away with not sticking out. You know, like a short time. And not only that, the real estate agent lost a lot of money by not getting their house. They could turn around and sell for $2 or $3 million. So, and it sounds like an older lady real estate agent. Look into that. So, she probably knows somebody that wants to buy it also. I think it's a real estate agent. Look into that. Make sure that's what it is. All right, bye. Yeah, look at that, guys. If you don't talk to me, I'm on the phone here, man.
Well, you know what I say, Gibbs? Always look at the real estate agent.
Always.
The fact that you used to dabble in that.
Yeah.
Makes you a suspect in a number of cases.
That's right.
I've always thought that.
Absolutely.
I always get a kick out of people who, when they're done leaving their voicemail,
yeah,
are still then talking to someone else. My wife does that sometimes, but she often does the opposite. She'll call me, and when I answer, she's already talking to somebody else.
And you're like, hello?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you call me or not?
You know I'm going to pick up the phone. Why would you start talking to somebody else?
Right. But he's like, he's like, hey, I'm on the phone here.
I'm talking here.
Yeah.
I'm talking to Mike and Gibby here.
Hi, guys. It's Kira, the coroner. I've got COVID. Yay. But I was calling to tell you that so the L in DeKalb is silent, just because I'm from Atlanta, and it can be very confusing. And I'm not getting on to you because a lot of people make that mistake. But if you ever have another DeKalb County situation, you can not have to try so hard to pronounce that L because it's a silent L. You know about the silent L. Everybody knows about the silent L. Anyway. Hope you guys are keeping your head on a swivel and your time is ticking. And okay, COVID. Okay, bye.
Well, I hope she gets better. But you know,
yeah, absolutely.
I've noticed this COVID that everybody has now seems to be not like the COVID I had. Everybody's able to talk.
You couldn't talk at all.
No, I could barely breathe.
So as far as the DeKalb County, Georgia.
Yeah.
I'm glad she called in and let me know. I just see we have is it DeKalb in Illinois and Indiana? There's counties right next to us,
right
in the states next to us that I thought the L was pronounced.
Right.
I could be wrong about that too, but when I saw the Georgia one, I just assumed they were all the same. But that's where I get in trouble, making too many assumptions.
Well, the L is silent.
We know it now.
So my name is Micah, because I have an L in my name, Michael.
Okay.
That doesn't work with that, does it?
No. You couldn't think of a better example than that? No,
I
could not.
That's all I had at that moment, yeah.
You couldn't use milk?
Yeah.
Hey, Mike and Gibby. It's Jesse from Canada, British Columbia. I just wanted to leave a voicemail and say, you know, I love your guys' podcast. Listen to it every single day. I'm a bit of a true crime fanatic, and so I've listened to many different crime podcasts over the last couple of years and stumbled across yours a couple months ago. I love what you guys do. I have no team because you both rock so much. And I really appreciate you guys having some time in my day. Getting to hear somebody else talk about true crime is a warm treat since I'm the only one who talks about it with my friends. Yeah, I hope you guys have a great, great day. And maybe I'll leave another voicemail soon. Goodbye.
Yeah, please do. Appreciate the kudos. And, you know, if you don't have a lot of friends that are into true crime,
yeah,
just glob on to this community because there's a bunch of people who are into it.
There sure is.
Absolutely. All right, buddy. That is it for another episode of True Crime All the Time Unsolved. So for Mike
and Gibby,
stay safe and keep your own time ticking.
Saddle up and get ready for Westerns Weeks on Pluto TV, all for free. We're coming in blazing with favorites like True Grit and Once Upon a Time in Mexico. Or immerse yourself in binge-worthy series like Yellowstone and Walker, Texas Ranger. Plus, Pluto TV has hundreds of channels with thousands more movies, TV shows, and more. The best part? It's free. No credit card, no sign-up, no fees. Download the Pluto TV app on all your favorite devices and start streaming now.